Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the second funniest podcast.
The first funniest podcast will not be aired tonight.
Replacing will be second best. You can send us an email, podcast@justincomedy.com, or you can give us a phone call at 408-228-4911.
You won't be able to be a part of this podcast because it's already been recorded. Don't call right now.
I'm going to be at the Toledo Funny Bone with Derek Carter September 3rd through September 6th. September 13th, I'm going to be at the OC Comedy Spot in Fullerton. And the big thing, don't forget, November 4th, recording my second CD at Rooster Teeth Feathers. You can purchase tickets now. If you are going to come to that show, please buy the tickets now. It makes me look awesome. You can get information at justincomedy.com.
You always look awesome, Justin.
Aww.
I'm going to India.
I know.
So if you want to know more about that, you can go to churchinhollywood.com/outreach.
All right. But they can send money, right?
They can. I need to raise $3,000.
How do they contact you?
You can email me at kevin@thekevinmiller.com.
Enjoy the show.
/outreach.
Okay, bye.
Exciting,
right?
I'm excited.
I almost feel like that music was a little antithetical to my tone right now.
Really?
My overall mood. Because here's the thing.
You know, I got to be honest. I thought you were using that word wrong, but I'm impressed.
What word? Antithetical?
Yeah, but keep going.
All right, good. Because I feel like I'm excited to be home.
Yeah.
But you know how, like, when you come home and you've been gone for a while, like, you just want to settle in?
Yeah.
But I forgot we were just here last episode. We were here at this very spot, but we were solo.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't feel it was the excitement of nobody here.
Right.
The family's here. It's all in the way. Everything is like,
everybody's here.
But we've been gone. Both of us have had and will have, continue to have adventures.
Yeah, that's true.
Not in babysitting.
No, the dishes are done, dude.
Yeah.
No, that's, don't tell mom the babysitter's dead.
Yeah.
Which is quite an adventure.
Oh, no Thor in Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, man. You got to have a movie with Thor in it.
Didn't a lot of people end up being famous out of Adventures in who's the Elizabeth Shue?
Yes, and she was in Hamlet too.
Yes, yep. Playing herself.
Yeah,
somebody's been to the movies.
No, that movie's old.
Hamlet too?
Yeah, that's like at least 2 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Oops.
Somebody hasn't been to the movies, and he's a father.
All my new releases come from Netflix. And
did you just call it Netflix?
I might have. What do you have?
I think I have Blockbuster, which I guess is Ballbuster.
Yeah. Well, that's where you get all your adult films. If you want to get films mailed to you that are in the general cinema, you go to Netflix.
Wow, that only took like 90 seconds, and we're already talking about the adult cinema. Second funniest podcast ever, right here.
Is it today official porno day?
No, see, you make these things up, and you can't just give cards out and say their days.
When you say I make things up, I think what I'm really trying to do is make things happen.
No. Yeah, it's like we're almost on to International Talk Like a Pirate's Day. In fact, when this comes out, it may have already passed. It's September 19th.
It's
International Talk Like a Pirate's Day.
Today is the 10th. This will be out on the 13th or the 17th.
17th. So in a couple days, folks, International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
No, this will come out on the 15th. That's what we're doing.
You have 4 days to get your voice together.
All right.
Yeah, see, you can't make up days like International Celebrate Porn Day or...
But they can make up a day of Talk Like a Pirate Day?
Yeah.
How do I know who created Talk Like a Pirate
Day? It has a long and proud history dating back to 1996, so maybe you should Google that action.
I just realized this is something that we could also do, is that we always use my computer for the sound effects and everything. You could easily have your laptop, and then we could be double-teaming this Google action in the web.
Since the first episode, you said I could do that, but
You're against it.
No, I love it.
You love it, but you failed to do it.
I just didn't think,
out of lack of interest?
No, I want to do it. I was going to bring it out tonight, but I didn't. Here's the thing. I didn't want you to feel like you had to plug my laptop in, because it's extra work for you. You have to set all this stuff up.
It's work that I love. I wasn't going to plug in the audio. I was just saying you could look on the internet and read stuff, too, if it came up to you.
All right. You know what I mean?
Like,
well, I'll get my laptop.
No, you don't have to. Let's not do it now. Let's maybe wait for another episode, like maybe next season.
Okay.
Do we have seasons? We probably don't have
Probably not. Here's another thing I want to do. In our Odyssey, Justin and I are doing our research and listening to other podcasts out there.
Yes.
And if you have a podcast that's out there, we're the second best, second funniest.
That's what we want to go for.
Yeah, we're aiming for second.
People, there are many problems with having the first funniest podcast.
Yeah.
If you're the first funniest podcast, every other podcast that wants to be funny is aiming for you. You're the target. You're like Oprah.
We're the Dick Cheney of podcasts.
Yes, we want to slip under the radar.
Good enough.
We just want to be known, and we want people to be like, oh, you know what's really good is that show that's just a little bit better than the second funniest podcast.
Because everybody wants the second funniest to be the funny. Oh, you guys should be the funniest podcast.
You guys are the funniest.
But here's the other thing that I think we both agreed last time is that we wouldn't talk about our podcast as much within the actual podcast.
Maybe we make this a bonus episode.
Okay, yeah.
This isn't a real episode of the podcast.
This is the third funniest podcast.
But then by that logic, we would also have to then immediately following this record the episode that has to come out on Tuesday.
All right, let's turn this off and start again.
All right, we're gonna go from scratch. Is that what we want to do?
Here we go. And three, two, count us in. One, and...
Everybody, and welcome again to the second funniest podcast.
You know, that music makes you feel antithetical to how you're actually behaving.
I was going to say that you're using that word wrong because this time I came back. Well, that was pre-show. That was bonus material, Justin.
Oh, man.
Actual second funniest podcast, Justin. Boom. Out of it.
Oh,
ready.
Yeah.
Out of the gates.
Punch the mic. Punch it.
Oh, would you say punch it or munch it?
I regret everything. My ears are so bad.
I munched that mic like I was a lesbo on prom night.
What is with you?
What?
Have you not had any special time with your wife?
I've had lots of maybe too much, more than a man can handle.
Oh.
Maybe that's what it is.
Your wife is more than most men can handle. You've created a child that was so much love.
I was just going to say, my son can't even handle her, evidently. But not in that manner, because that's creepy.
I would kiss him all over.
If that's where your mind went on that little reference, you need to start knocking on your neighbor's doors, because you need to tell people that I have issues.
Oh, wait a second. You're retarded. All right, so welcome
and gay
to the Second Funniest Podcast with your host, Justin Warsham.
And Kevin Miller.
Okay.
You want to start over?
This. Yes, please.
Evidently harder than I thought. Oh, hold on. It's even harder.
I'm going to get my laptop.
All right, here we are. We're back. Welcome to the second funniest
podcast. I'm antithetical.
Third edition. This is how we roll. This is what we're doing with this show is we're trying to make it to where people are like, man, I wish they would have more guests.
So far, it's working.
When they don't have guests, then they just...
blah, blah, blah. But we have lots to talk about because
we've both had
so many adventures, and if we'd stop jerking around...
I know, we're so busy with our bit-a-palooza.
At the end of the show, we're going to be like, we had so much to talk about, and the baby was in the dog water the whole time. And that's all we talked about for an hour and a half was baby in the dog water.
He's walking now all the time, and he looked at us because he knows that what he's doing is wrong, and he looks, he's like, hey guys, is anybody seeing me? This is the part where every teacher that I ever had, not so much my parents, I don't think my parents ever had a moment, but every teacher I ever had is right now, somehow their soul is feeling a little bit happier.
It's what my mom always used to say, I hope your children are worse than you. Just like you are.
That's that famous hex that Bill Cosby talked about where he said that every mom does this hex on their kids where they go, I hope that one day you have a child that does the same thing that you do to you that you do to me.
That's a lot of Bill Cosby. Now, have you laid into your son yet when he does stuff like this and just yelled at him? Although that Natalie Simple no made him cry a little.
Yeah,
but have you been like... Bam! No!
Super sensitive. Natalie smacked his hand about something. Not hard, I don't think, but... And my dad, here's what's happening with my relationship with my son. It's on the... Because here's what happened. I had the crap kicked out of me.
Yeah, physically and emotionally.
Which we didn't go into with my father.
So like, strange when he
maybe
was...
Maybe not so much emotionally, maybe more physically. Well, maybe, I don't know. Here's the reality. He would thump me in the head, which I talk about in my act, blah, blah, blah. And we're doing timeouts because, weirdly enough, Todd Glass convinced me to do timeouts because he said, you would never date someone who said, I'm going to try not to hit you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what people say when they're like, well, we're going to try doing timeouts. And he doesn't have kids, and every parent who spanks their kids' defense. But for whatever reason, that resonated with me.
I agree.
I may change my mind. I don't know.
See, I think the point is I don't want my child to recognize that they solve problems with physical violence. It doesn't. That's not how you want... want anything else.
See, when you put it like that,
but you don't use pain to communicate, is what I'm saying.
But when you put it like that, my fear is that we're going to raise a generation of pussies.
No,
like, I feel like we, as Americans, need to fight people to say, listen, we're better than you. I'm going to punch you in the face to prove it.
That's because you would carve off a piece of a living cow and grill it in front of her.
Oh. The one that I took it from, right? Not its mom.
No.
Yeah, that's just rude if you kill it from its mom.
And a white cow.
That cow's old. You got to kill the old one first. Isn't it first in, first out? Isn't that how you do it?
Yeah.
FIFA or whatever. FIFO? FIFO.
Speeda?
First in, first out is FIFO.
Save it for the podcast.
SIFTA.
SIFTA. SIFTA. Well, what have we saved for the podcast besides child abuse?
I could go into this story. So I was at the Toledo Funny Bone all this week with Darren Carter. And those of you who are following me on Twitter, which is twitter.com/JustinWorsham, or Facebook friends might have noticed a link in my status update recently where I was on the morning show, Andrew Z in the Morning at Toledo, the number one morning show. And in front of the...
Not Toledo, Oregon, like I thought.
No, yeah, the holy Toledo. In front of the comedy club, they had what? Oh,
can I be a little low? It's just really loud. I tried to do it.
Kevin was trying to. There's a lot going on. I have my story. I have what's going on. Not really in the computer. I don't know. But that's funny to me.
Thanks.
So, anyway, you want me down?
I just want the volume. Yeah, because.
There we go.
Thank you. That's nice.
Oh,
nicer.
That's a sweet spot right there, Daddy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they had a magic show happening right in front of the comedy club on the lawn. That's like, you know how they have like a common lawn usually in like these malls or whatever?
Yeah.
So they built this stage and they're doing a magic show. That's where I sent out a picture. I got to play with a baby tiger. And that was a lot of fun. The guy was super nice. The magician, his name was Joe Exotic. He rescues
animals. Is that his birth name? Cause that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know what happens with the exotics, but, I don't know if they're French or German. Yeah. I would assume exotic would mean African, but he's a total white dude, but he may have black in his blood.
Sounds very exotic.
Yeah. I think that was his intent. So anyway, we go to Andrew Z in the morning. We're on the morning show. It's going great. Having a blast. This guy brings in a monkey.
Yes.
And the monkey, I was facing with my back towards the monkey, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to look at the monkey and challenge the monkey because the monkey is super creepy looking and... I think
that's awesome.
I can't stop staring at this monkey. Now, this monkey then decides that it doesn't like that I'm ignoring it, and it wants some of my attention.
Yes.
So it politely just kind of slaps on my shoulder, like you would tap somebody on the shoulder, like, hey. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, how's it going? And he's tapping me on the shoulder. And I'm in the middle of talking, so I just focus in, right? And then he gets upset because this is how you could tell that there are biological relatives in that he becomes offended.
<Says you.
laughs> He becomes offended that we that I am not paying attention.
Right.
So he, you know, maybe he thinks, well, maybe that right shoulder of his is numb. I'm going to hit him a little harder. Then he'll know what's up. And so he starts... Then still no attention. Now Darren is talking, and Darren stops mid-sentence because this monkey is slapping the shit out of me live on the air and screaming, too. And they're like, and they go, dude, this monkey is pissed at you. Like, I don't know. I'm the one, he's grabbing at my sweater.
I'm there.
And he's slapping me. And he's like, ha, ha, ha. Like, and so I go, I know, I don't want to look at it because I've seen the rundown. I know to submit. Like, I just have to not dominate. I'm just submitting. And then they go,
is it the same for monkeys as opposed to?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to, wait, what?
Gorillas.
Okay.
Isn't one in the rundown, those are Vietnamese.
No, well, they have monkeys, too. They have spider monkeys that first happens, and then they do a callback when the Vietnamese guys, I think, are wailing on
them. Oh, got it.
So anyway, the monkey starts wailing on me, and then they go, well, you got to get down on your stomach or get down on your back and expose your belly like a dog. So I pretend, like, I do it, but I get down in the studio, even though we're on the radio, and I get down, and then Darren makes the joke. He goes, well, you don't have to pull your pants down, you know, and I go, well, because the monkey was wearing a tiger shirt.
Adorable.
A tiger print. Like, not like I like tigers or La Tigre or anything cool like that. Like an orange shirt with black stripes, like Fred Flintstone might have worn.
Right.
But gayer.
Gay monkeys
gay,
are the worst.
This monkey probably had AIDS because...
I think AIDS came from monkeys.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This is where I think that we had it wrong in the 80s. We thought it came from gays.
Yeah.
And no, it came from gay monkeys, I think. This monkey was gay and angry and wanted daddy's attention, and daddy wasn't giving it to him. So he's wailing on me.
He slapped the AIDS into you.
I hope not. I better get tested for all those chicks I have to sleep with.
Yeah, one. You have one.
Well,
she counts for three.
Because I'd call her by her first, middle, and last name.
Oh, Hoffman.
Oh, I go Maiden, too. That's a fourth one.
There you go.
There you go.
What's her middle name? Anne?
Leona.
Really?
Yeah.
Has that ever come up?
How?
In the way you just described.
No.
Leona?
Not on purpose, unless something happens to me and I'm like, oh, Leona. That's as close as it could get to me saying
that. Sounds painful.
Because here's the thing that's creepy. This is what is wrong about people naming their children after the elderly.
That's pretty. Leona's a pretty name.
But it's after her 4'2" grandma that passed away like 4 years ago. That's and sweet. I've met the woman. And so for me to be in the middle of coitus and say, Leona, all I think about this 4'2" wrinkled
but
old
she
lady.
She got her Leona on as well, Grandma Leona.
At some point. Yeah. I hope not since I met her. Because there's no woman there to, you know, to
old,
get a,
old people have sex too, you know. It's not just for the young and beautiful.
Here's my honest theory. I think old people have crazy sex.
Yeah.
Because think about it. You and I, we can have sex, and at best, you know, we can get a girl to yell our name, maybe take
her name.
Her name would be, that would be
Leona.
All. Yeah, that'd be all their grandmother's name. That's
Steve Holt.
You can make a girl yell her grandma's name. Or wait, who's Steve Holt? Do we know
that's
this
from Arrested Development?
Oh, okay. If you can make a girl yell her grandma's name, that's like, that's top of the charts.
Oh, yeah,
I would say a close second to that would probably be the Lord's name in vain. And then does that count as in vain when you say it?
Yes, definitely.
Really? Yeah. If I'm in the middle of making love, I'm like, oh, God, the moment of pleasure.
Absolutely.
And really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on.
What if I'm making love in a church?
What is wrong with you? That is the real question.
Nobody's ever made love in a church?
I'm sure people have.
I'm not talking about, like, fornication. Oh. I'm talking about making love between a man and a wife are married and in front of God's eyes. They
so not nurses and priests? Nuns. Nuns and priests.
Nuns and priests?
Yeah, not those guys?
No, because aren't they already breaking a vow to begin with?
Yeah, that's why they're eliminated from your little paradigm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure married people have.
I know of unmarried people that have had the coitus in the church, as I call it. The CIC.
The CIS?
Coitus in the church. CITC.
Wait, that sounds terrible.
The kiddick. I got accosted by a monkey in Toledo. What else happened while I was there? I think that was about it. That's all I could think of right now.
That's nice. That's
it was fun. And I got to play with a baby tiger, which was more exciting than I thought. I found out that people can get a tiger that is unlicensed for $400 at an exotic animal auction, which to the tiger sanctuary people is not cool because people buy tigers that are babies and like, oh, this is a great idea. It's only $400. Because there are dogs that you pay $1,000 for.
Right. Why not get a tiger?
Exactly. So
it only eats raw animal flesh.
Flesh. I was thinking the video software thing for website. So they buy these animals, and then when they get big and they start eating them, they go, wait, I don't want this anymore. Then you have to get it donated to a sanctuary and give it to them where
they
feed
it. It's a brilliant scheme.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I heard today of an amazing place, the best tourist trap in the known world called the Monkey Temple. Have you heard of this? Speaking of monkeys.
This monkey that's beating my ass needs to go to the temple and maybe chill his chi out.
Well, it's brilliant because it's free to get into the monkey temple. You go in and there's just monkeys everywhere. There's monkeys everywhere.
In what country is this?
I heard that it was somewhere down south, but I looked online and it looks like it's somewhere in India. But let's just...
Because I feel like I've heard of it, but these are baboons that thinking of, and they actually can hurt you, but it's their place. Like, it's an old ruin.
Yeah, this is in India.
It's a ruin that they... Right. Maybe you're going to go to this place? Are you going to...
I hope so. I want to now. But after I heard the story is you walk in and the monkeys get all up on you, and they take your stuff. They reach into your pockets. They take your hat off your head.
And you can't do anything.
Well, they're monkeys. And so the guy who was telling
the
story...
Why does that mean something?
Because they're monkeys.
They could do whatever they want because they're monkeys?
They're black ninja monkeys. With their black ninja belt monkeys.
So they're taking your stuff and you don't even know it.
Yeah, they're like...
Okay, got it.
Well, the guy, John Hans is his name, he was telling a story where they were there and he was a kid and this monkey jumps on his mother's back and so she's screaming, ah! And then the monkey's freaking out as well. And he just says, I will never forget my mother spinning in the air. So this monkey's clinging. Said it grabbed her glasses off his face, off her face, ran over to the edge of the cliff, watched her, stood, looked right at her, broke the glasses in half, and threw it over the cliff. But the reason why it's free is because there's all these people hanging out with fruit. And so what you have to do is once they take your stuff, you have to go buy the fruit and then throw it at the monkeys and hope that they let go of your stuff to grab the food and take it and then catch
your
iPod or whatever they've taken out. It's the best scam ever.
I guarantee you none of my relatives have ever gone into this, because there would be a lot of dead monkeys.
That'd be awesome. Yes, for sure.
give me my wallet, monkey. You want to eat a bullet? Give me my wallet, yip, right? Yip,
yip. I'm a dead monkey.
Got my wallet.
monkey did this. Well, we were discussing, because we were talking about tourist traps today, uh-huh. and where I went. And I went to a place that changed my life forever this past week.
What? I'm waiting. You're very, like, you're glowing.
I know.
Right now.
Great. Yeah.
What is it that you went to?
I went to Coke World.
What the hell is
You weren't
Coke?
Expecting that.
No.
Here's the thing. In Atlanta, where Coke was born, they have the world's greatest aquarium, apparently. It's the, I know, you wouldn't
Fish think. Cannot live in a Coke-filled aquarium.
These do.
Or can they?
Next time on the Second Funniest Podcast.
Use number two for Coke Zero.
Aquarium feed.
Fish can breathe it.
These guys are so much faster now. We should enter in the great aquarium race. this aquarium is so bizarrely phenomenal. I think it's the best aquarium in the known universe. There's something to do while you're waiting to get into it called Coke World. Like, you buy a ticket and it tells you what time to come back. That's how busy it is, that you can't just walk in the door.
So this is a Coke World is just an aquarium?
No, it's a separate. There's the Atlanta Aquarium.
Is this like a Disneyland for Coca-Cola?
Then there's Coke World, which is its own separate convention hall, which is Disneyland.
So the Atlantic Aquarium is one side.
Is its own whole thing.
That's a thing.
And that its own.
So that's like
price.
California Adventure.
No, that's like Disneyland.
Oh, is the aquarium?
Is the aquarium. And then Coke World is like a flea market that rolled into town and you buy coupons to get in.
Like so if I was a carny and I just set up my goods
pretty much
in the parking lot at Disneyland.
Exactly.
That's Coke World?
More like at the Penny Savers Inn around the corner from Disney that you can't even get a trolley to get into the park.
You got to walk there or drive
I'm just
there.
Saying it's that sucky, even though it's in what was probably the parking lot of the aquarium at some point. So same sort of phenomenon. And they've renamed the whole place Pemberton Park after the guy who first invented Coke. Well, you go and you pay. Let me stress this. You pay to get into Coke World.
So what you're saying is that I give them some kind of monetary amount.
Exactly, to enter this place.
To enter into an aquarium.
Leave the aquarium alone. That was just in the environment. Now we're
you
in Coke World.
You said it was the best aquarium in the known universe, and now we're skipping that for a flea market?
Yes, because the aquarium didn't change my life.
So what you're saying is that I would take some piece of paper that is allegedly a representation of an amount of gold that belongs to me in
Not
some
gold.
Big Fort Knox.
We've been over this.
Okay. And I will give that to some man with most of his teeth.
Yes.
And then he will let me enter into a flea market.
Yes.
Okay. So you have to pay to get in.
I have to pay to get in.
Okay.
You get in, and it's kind of interesting at first.
How much?
We got the 2-for-1 pass. We got into both parks for the same price, and so about $10 to get
$10. Now, what if you bring a can of Pepsi? Does it $5 off?
I don't think they would appreciate that.
Come on, you gotta take
it. I'll try it. I should have tried it.
They don't honor competitors' coupons.
I think they'd be pretty pissed, though. I would be surprised.
They were a swap meet instead of a flea market.
Honestly,
then they would.
Yeah, that's true. I honestly would be surprised if you could find a Pepsi product within 100 yards or 100 miles of Atlanta, honestly.
Really?
It is seriously nowhere to be found in any store, any restaurant. Everywhere is Coke in Atlanta. Hey, if you're from Atlanta, tell me I'm wrong. Because the whole time I was there, I never saw anything but Dasani water, Minute Maid, Coke, Coke Zero, all that stuff.
All right.
So, you go all in. You're all in. And and it starts out, it's kind of campy and fun, and he shows you some antiques from the Coke history. Because it's been around for 130 years or something.
But when you say antiques, what do you mean? Like old bottles or
No,
old
more
trucks?
Interesting stuff. Like artwork from 1900s and some of the oldest thing they had was an urn that they used to use in the soda fountains, where how they'd mix the soda with the carbonation to make it
in with people's ashes.
That's what I imagined, but it's like it looks like an old fashioned ceramic spittoon.
Oh, okay.
Imagine that.
I get you.
And then there's just stuff from that they've had since the 40s and stuff, and that's pretty cool. Then you go in and watch this movie, which is this wannabe Pixar movie about remember that Coke commercial that played in the Super Bowl where you would drop the quarter and it rolls into the machine, and it's those characters.
Da, da, da,
yeah. And it's really uncomfortable at best. And that's how
it looks like a drug trip.
Yes, and then they're interviewing, and every question that they ask these imaginary characters about Coke and what it's like to work for Coke. They tell you how it's a really friendly environment and how the product is the most amazing thing in the world and how it just makes you happy and
but they're not
brings
real.
People together. Yeah, and they're not real. So then you go, then they some cool technology stuff, because then the screen opens up and you go into the exhibit. So you go inside.
Oh, through the screen.
Yeah, it's
cool.
Pretty cool. And you go inside and you're essentially then inside a convention hall. Like nothing that, all that flashy. There's a guy in a polar bear suit that's a robot. So the head is a robot and it blinks and he moves and that's pretty cool. That was great. You get a picture with that. But then you walk around and you go into a room that is just playing commercials, Coke commercials, again and again and again throughout history. Kind of interesting. There's a 3D room where you go in and experience Coke in 4D, where they're looking for the secret ingredient to Coke. And they spend this whole time discovering that there are three U's in the secret ingredient to Coke: uniqueness, uniformity, and unforgettableness or something. And then the fourth U is you, and you, and you, and you. And the whole time, they're just, it's just propaganda after propaganda, shouting this stuff. Nowhere, even in throughout the history of Coke, a little exhibit, you walk from station to station, where they play videos of reenactments of how Pemberton invented Coke and sold it to this guy who figured out how to bottle and sold it to this guy who figured out how to distribute and sold it to this guy and blah, 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 and how it became this phenomenon. Nowhere in there do they mention the fact that they are still using cocaine in their recipe. And they don't even make reference to the fact that cocaine was in the name. That's where the name Coke.
That's not an urban legend?
That's absolutely true. It was made by this guy Pepperton, we learn later. Again, not in Coke World, because according to Coke World, Pepperton invented it to is a refreshing Georgia drink. In reality, as my further research has shown, it was a cure for morphine addiction. So it had cocaine in it and diphtheria, all sorts of things. Reason why it was so popular. This guy was a whacked out chemist.
I love that at this time, right? Yeah. We live in a time, and we've talked about this, where you have to have a state pass a law and then you still have to go see a doctor or whatever in order to smoke marijuana. But evidently in this time, people were able to get their hands on morphine and were becoming addicted to it.
And trying to find ways to eliminate the addiction.
And then using soft drinks to ease their way down.
Pretty hard drinks.
Maybe this is what Coke Zero is. What is this trying to get
with
off
that phenol, with phenylenine? Well, we learned later, I went online and researched it, that there's one company in New Jersey called Stevenson Company that can still legally import cocaine from down south, the only place, and they give it, they refine it and mine it and distribute it to...
Put it up a hooker's ass.
Exactly. To hospitals.
Send it to Atlanta.
They give it to hospitals for medicinal purposes.
Uh-huh.
And they give the spent leaves, the non-cocaine, the actual non-drug part, inside a hooker's ass and send it to Coke.
Wow.
So there still is cocaine in the recipe for Coke.
Coke
now.
Classic.
Coke, the original
recipe. But probably not Diet Coke?
Probably. I don't know.
Probably not Coke Zero.
My research did not result.
Now, why is it that this does not have to show up on the ingredients?
Great question. I do not know. But fascinating things about why the bottle is shaped the way it is. It was all great. But they really do spend 2 hours telling you how it makes you happy and joyful. So the last thing you do is go into a Coke tasting room where they have soda fountains from all over the world. So you can try different Coke products in South America and different Coke products in Europe and different Coke products in Asia.
But what about the U for uniformity?
Exactly. Well, they have different, you know.
Are there, hold on. Yeah, are there people like really being jackass about, they go, oh, look at this. Oh.
It's a lot of fun actually to run around and taste these different things. And
can you taste the difference or is it in your head?
Oh, no. There are very, well, because there are different things, like they have a drink called Stony down out in Italy, I think, and it's
crack rock that they put
pretty
in
much. There was one drink when I tasted it, I said, I do not know what this tastes like. There's no flavor my mouth has ever had in it that I can tell you what this tastes like. So it's really an experience.
Yeah, you're drinking it.
You know, I'm like, oh, it was new. It was tasty, but I'm like, I don't know what. Ask me what this tastes like. I can't tell you.
It tastes like nothing I've ever tasted before.
But good. It tastes like whatever that drink was. Aspen or something.
Aspen?
So, yeah. And then there's terrible drinks in Italy called the Royale, and it tastes like garbage. And so it's fun to go around on these tasting tests.
Well, what do they call these flavors? Are they just...
Well, they're like, here we have Dr. Pepper and 7-Up and all these things.
They're variations.
They're different. Well, they're just drinks that exist.
Dr. Pepper is like plums. Like, that's... It's like 23 flavors, but I think it's just plum juice.
I might have been at some point, but it's the same sort of thing where they just have evolved into different flavors that are big there. There's like passion fruits, and in Sweden, they had something called Aquarius, which was like a kind of a minty water, and that was it. That was what came out of the fountain.
Who am I to judge?
The last thing you do before you leave is you go into a little section of the tasting room, and they have Coke there. After spending 2 hours listening to how Coke will make you happy, and Coke will bring joy to your life.
You can buy Coke.
Yeah, that's afterwards. But you get a free, you can drink all you want the whole time you're there. And you fill up your glass, and you get a free Coke right there. And, you know, you pay $10. And and I seriously put it to my mouth, and I was like, this makes me happy. And this, I felt great for the rest of the weekend. And up until this day, all I want is Coke. And I do not drink soda. So the rest of the day, we went out in Atlanta. I'm like, I need a Coke. I had a Coke with dinner. We went out the next day to lunch. We went around. I had Coke the whole way. I had Coke on every flight home. I've had Coke every day for lunch and dinner.
Every flight home.
How many
flights did you have to take? Is this because you have to fly around to dodge the cops for your new Coke habit?
Yeah. It was inside a balloon. We had layovers. We went from one place to another, and I had a Coke on both flights.
How bad do you want a polar bear?
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Some of that sweet cola bear meat. Oh, that's good. How is that not a thing?
That's got to be a Sicilian flavor.
Cola bear. So, seriously, go to the, if you go to the Coke world.
Seriously, if you have not been brainwashed to love a refreshing soft drink, go to Atlanta, Georgia, go to Coke world, and you know what? Fuck Pepsi for not creating their own planet.
Dude, seriously, because this world is made of joy and peacefulness and happiness. It's what brings the world together.
It's not about a generation. It's not.
That's Pepsi.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's my point. Who are those people? I could care less.
It doesn't matter.
I could care less.
Here's why I love Coke Zero.
Yeah.
I love it because the guy in the commercials with the glasses, he made it so I could meet Tony Stewart at a NASCAR race because Tony Stewart is a Coke driver.
Yeah.
And it's the Coke Zero brand. And then I tried a Coke Zero there as a joke.
Right.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
And then because I'm on this low calorie thing, it's zero calories.
Who doesn't love it?
I love it more.
That's the thing that's so fast. You just spill Coke all over your...
No, it's empty. We're okay.
The thing is that the whole time, like I said, there's just blatant omissions from the company's history. Just clear, very scary things that they're trying to
ignore.
But
is that what you're expecting when you go to a place called Coke World birthplace? You're like, here's where we screwed up.
No, I didn't think it was screwed. I thought it would be a history. Like they say in the description that they'll show you how they bottle. There's just pieces of a machine that they use somewhere else in a micro Disney World version of a bottling plant. Like, I expected to get an honest history of Coke, not this, like, over the
top.
Here's
what it is. They've timed out from the moment you park into the parking lot of the aquarium and then go, oh, this isn't where I wanted to be. I got to drive over to the other place. And they know it's Atlanta. It's south. It's hot.
Yeah.
They've timed out. They go, okay, $10. This is going to take you 1 hour, 45 minutes to get through, right? You're probably going to, at most, drink 8 Cokes during that time, even if you're really trying.
You get a free Coke on the way out, too,
okay.
Or a bottle.
So we go 9.
Yeah.
Then they're going, we just charge these jackasses $10 to drink 8 Cokes.
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant. Here's how brainwashed you are.
You're not even offended by that. You're like, oh, no, that's good.
Here's the deal. I went through it. That's what I'm saying. Everything I learned, I was like, this is bunk.
I feel like you're trying to convert me to Scientology.
The problem, what I'm describing is the fact that my brain is at constant conflict with itself, where I'm like, I know that it's wrong. I know that they lied to me. But their product is amazing.
But you can't.
But all I want to do is drink it.
But here's the thing. Like, Coke Zero, there's no fructose corn syrup or any sugar or anything. So
yeah, it's okay, but it's not as good as the real thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's okay. I enjoyed it when I drank it just now, but it wasn't as good as the Coke I had at lunch or the Coke I'll have on the drive home.
I love it because... I don't know how to feel about this. Yeah. I have lots of thoughts going through my mind because at first I feel like that when you were like, you go in there and you were kind of angry at them for not telling you that there was cocaine in it. And I'm like,
I am angry.
You knew.
I'm very angry.
So why do they have to tell you?
But see, I had to go find it out.
But how did you know to go look?
Because when I left, I was like, there's got to be cocaine in here.
Yeah.
Like that. I know that's part of the story.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have just invented. And they actually called it Coca-Cola based on coca wine, which is really big in Europe at the time.
See, that's what I'm saying. So why? I don't know. I don't know.
The problem is you're missing the key ingredient to my story.
Me?
Yes. If you were drinking a Coke right now, a real Coke, none of this zero crap.
Whoa.
100% Coke.
Whoa.
Always Coca-Cola. You would taste it and recognize.
Would you be able to stay on this show if we received a Pepsi sponsorship?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because the truth be told is I will probably drink Coke for another maybe half day.
And it's going
to start to turn my stomach. Because already I feel fat. And, you know, I don't drink soda.
Yeah.
And it already makes me feel
like
I'm telling
you, drink this Coke Zero and you can have all the love of the taste and without
but
it.
There's things
fat
in
feeling.
Here that make me concerned. Because on the bottom of Coke Zero, it says this completely intangible.
You tell me what could be so unhealthy, unhealthy than cocaine in that can.
But there's no... Listen, this sentence scares me.
Okay.
I can't pronounce these words, but it says, phenacetylcholinonics contains phenylalanine. I know neither of those words, but if they are forced to, by law, tell me that one made-up word contains another made-up word...
No, maybe it's just a word scramble, because those words sound the same. Maybe it's saying that that second word exists within the first word.
It's like it's just a game.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you, Coke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a cereal box. It's something that you can play while you're drinking your Coke.
Na 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 na.
Your reason for drinking it is a lot better than mine, because mine is just to hopefully keep this friend of mine employed. Yours is because you've bought into some propaganda.
I wanna drink a Coke right now.
Did you stay in Atlanta the whole time, or did you have to
were there in Macon, Georgia, a little plantation town about an hour and a half.
Which south. I've done a Nick Live in Macon, Georgia.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Lies.
There's a putt-putt golf there that we used to do. Well, not a Nick Live. It was a game lab then.
Oh, that's crazy.
But there's a comedy club there that our friend Heath Heitch's old girlfriend heard this a lot to go through. Her dad owns
somebody you knew.
Yeah, somebody I knew owns a comedy club there, but I've never performed there.
Well, that flight out there was the first day in my life where I've wished death upon myself.
Wished it?
Yeah, I actually prayed to God for release from my life on
Why?
The flight out there. We were
because you didn't have the Coke?
I didn't know the miracle of Coke yet.
Ah.
The flight back, I wished death.
Now, where does Coke rank in your priorities with God?
Probably God, Coke, women.
Now, is that because you can't screw the women that you're like
yeah.
Coke beats them out?
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
All right.
I don't know. I've had Coke.
I wish there was... Come on! You can't get that on that a third funniest podcast.
That was Evelyn Pizzerani's joke when she said, after the wedding, we're going to Cold Stone. I was like, you want to have Cold Stone instead of going back to your hotel room? She said, well, I've had Cold Stone, and I know it's good. So we all had ice cream.
She's doing a good things tasting. Like, you know, you have like a wine tasting. She's like, because she's had a lot of amped up where she's
right.
going, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I love Cold Stone ice cream.
Right.
So if I have Cold Stone ice cream and then I go have the sex, I find out sex is better than Cold Stone ice cream.
You have the bar. You've set the bar.
I've got a new thing.
That's right.
I've got a new thing that I'm going to be obsessed with. And here's the kicker. Cold Stone ice cream can kind of be heavy on the calories. Sex actually burns them. I argue that people should be having more sex daily. This is mostly for my mother's influence, but people should be having more sex more often, be it, you know, masturbatory, be it oral, whatever you can do, that you should be doing it, because I think that that's the way we fight this problem with obesity. We don't take sugary drinks out of high schools. We don't do that. We get more people doing the naughty in a safe way so that we don't create more people.
You know what we should do is film you for 20 minutes and distribute you to all the classrooms across America.
I think a lot of people would support what I'm saying.
I think a lot of people do. Premarital sex is on the rise, my friend.
Well, how many parents do you think are against it?
Premarital sex?
Honestly
against it, or like, I want you to wait until it's somebody you love?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because that's the one you get. Is that, well, I'd rank your first time to be somebody you love.
Because here's my thing. I think that Jake, I used to think I had a double standard, that if I had a daughter, I wouldn't want her to have sex until she was married. But today, marriage doesn't, like, I've already kicked aside, even though I'm very in love with my wife, I've kicked aside that ideal that just because you marry somebody the first time around doesn't mean that that's the right person. You know what I mean? There are plenty of people in horrible relationships.
That's true.
But even then, it's like, I just think it shouldn't be when you're a teenager. Because when you're a teenager, I don't think you're properly equipped to process what is really going on.
Well, it's true. You're actually not the person you were going to be for the rest of your life doesn't really come into full until you're about 25, 26 in there. So your personality is still developing in, for the first quarter century
of your
life.
For some reason, I'm okay with early 20s, but the teen, even though I had sex when I was 16, and I felt like I was okay, like, sexually, I was, because I feel like there are people, because I've talked to other friends and their experience, that people have sexual experiences with people when they either themselves are not ready, or if, like, I don't know, maybe there's girlfriends that I've been with in high school that I thought I was being super concerned about what, you know, what's going on for them, how do they understand where I'm standing, and like, are we all on the same page and everything, but maybe I messed them up a little bit, you know, because I do think that there is a strong chance that the guys can screw up some chicks sexually. And maybe this is the reason, because I feel like that there's this issue where women, I feel very passionate about it. Women get in this thing where they feel like they withhold sex when they get married because it's like a thing that they can hold over a man's head. Because
they used it to lure you into marriage, and now they can hold it.
And I don't know, I don't know why that is, because I don't, I just, here's the thing. I don't know if it's because guys are so sexually obsessed, which I don't necessarily think is the truth. I think it's a stereotype, but I don't think that that's quite it. I don't think that every man in America, or even the majority of men in America, would stop at nothing to just have sex. I don't think that's the case.
Okay,
you know, well, like, I mean, why think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't operate just to get sex.
Yes,
but I know I'm more of the exception than the rule. And it's as in as Frasier once said, men can't use sex to get what they want. All they want is sex.
Yes,
I think that's more true than.
Okay, let me touch on it this way, because here's where I think it comes from. I think it comes from that as a society we are growing towards this idea that. I saw some. Here's the thing. I was in Modesto, and I saw some teenage girls that were in my former hometown.
They were pregnant.
They weren't pregnant. But when I looked at them,
they already had babies.
Their hair was way overdone, and they had all this stuff going on that I'm just like. I don't know. I'm sure that, but I just feel like it's become the cool thing to be useless. What I'm saying, that these are girls who are going to grow up. We start this ideal off with when they're kids, and it's I want to be a princess. I want to have a princess party. I want to just, you know, whatever.
And what does a princess do? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. There's a great commercial out right now for Girl Scouts. Have you seen this commercial?
No.
I hope I can find it. It's brilliant. The little girl and her father are sitting on the beach, and the little girl, maybe 6 years old, says, "Daddy, do you know why the sky is blue?" And he says, "To match your pretty eyes." And the little girl says, "Not even close." And then begins to describe the scientific reasons why the sky is blue. And at the end, he says, "How do you know that?" It says, "From mom." And then it says, you know, most girls lose interest in math and science by age 12 because of this reason, that they're encouraged to care about their pretty eyes. You know, the reason why the sky is blue, you say that to your son. You don't explain that to your daughter. That she doesn't care.
I mean, maybe I would.
I will.
Here's what I think. I think that we're creating, let's first break this down, and then we can get into maybe what's wrong with dudes, but because I feel like I'm getting way misogynistic here, but I feel like we're creating this society of women that have no skills. I was talking to my wife about this on the way down here today, that we are bringing people, in, like people... wonder, I think, they have this moment where they're like, why is it that nobody loves me? Why is it that I can't find somebody who is interested in being with me? And I think it's because you have to look at what do you bring to the table, right? Now, if I'm a chick, okay, and if I'm good looking, but that's all I bring to the table... then that limits me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm good looking, maybe I can hold down a good job or make some good money, or maybe I'm a good cook, I know it sounds sexist, but this is the problem. See, the fact that I have the thought that it's sexist, I don't think that that's what the maybe it is what they meant, and if that's what the feminists meant, then somebody should have shot them in the face when this started, because I feel like I'm interacting with these girls that, and interacting, it seems weird and creepy. No, that's not what's happening, but I feel...
engaging.
I have conversation with women now that are like, I need a big dress and a big wedding, and they, you know, and even just talking like this a lot. And
who do you talk to? Who are
women? All over the country, this is happening. Like,
but see, I think this is the same thing we were talking about when we had your dad on the show, which is that people, at a young age, you are trained to do nothing on your during your breaks.
Yes.
You don't have the responsibility of learning about skills or work. You get whatever you want until you're 18, and then suddenly you have to figure out the real world.
Yes,
like you haven't been in the real world. hold the whole time. And that's the same. It's the same problem you're describing. Because I do think that there are women that want success. I don't think we have a generation of completely of women.
Right. I'm not
that
saying
no
that
skills.
There are. Here's the thing. Nothing I say means is absolute.
Yeah.
I just think that what I'm arguing is that what you're talking about is now becoming the exception.
Right.
When the whole idea behind, in my opinion, as a misogynistic man, my idea behind the feminist movement was those women would be the majority. And I think what they've created is as a backfire is that they've created lots of lazy women who don't want to have to do anything.
Yeah.
I wish that I could be more specific and give out names, but it's unfair.
It's a bunch of Peggy Bundy.
My examples are this. Yes, Peggy Bundy's, where these are stay-at-home moms because that's what they want to be, but then they treat the idea, because here's the thing, it's also a disservice to all the stay-at-home moms in the country. Mm. There are a lot of stay-at-home moms who maybe even work from home because they're trying to be able to pay for the household that they live in, right? And they bust their humps, they raise their kids, and when their husband comes home, there's a dinner out, and they're polite, and they love their life, okay? These are the women that should be celebrated, not the girls next door, not the Paris Hiltons, not some pop icon who can't do anything but expose her midriff and shake her ass around all over the place in the hopes that somebody will validate her where their father never did.
Give yourself the applause.
Okay, all right. Oh, I can.
All right.
Oh, we started. I hit spacebar too many times. There
Welcome
we go.
Welcome back to the.
Because that. Hey, thank you. Thank you, studio audience. Seriously, shut up. Shut it up. So, and that to me is the issue. The issue is that, here's the thing. Not every woman is going to be a lawyer. Not every woman is going to be a doctor. Not every woman is going to own her own business.
Not every man is going to own his own motorcycle shop. Not
bingo.
Every man is going to be a rock star.
I get it. So, but that I just feel like that there's, and maybe this is because of some, I don't know if this makes me a racist. Here's what goes on in my head. All I think about is that as a white man, everybody looks at me and goes, you are the reason why everything is wrong. Like you
carry a lot of guilt there.
No. I'm exaggerating for humor in a lot of ways, but it's like, I used to talk about this one and it used to get awkward when I was in high school and stuff like that. Like I remember the first time I saw, what was it? I want to say it's the Source Awards or something. No, that's not right. This isn't where I want to go. I want to get back to the women thing. Here's what I'm saying is that by creating this situation where women don't have to do anything, you know what I mean? Here's the thing. This is what I was getting on. There's a woman that I know. Her husband works overtime, crazy amounts of hours. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't, and when I say doesn't do anything, she's a stay-at-home mom who has somebody come over and take care of her house for her, right? The kids do chores and stuff like that. Jacob also feels very passionate about the subject.
He's like, sexist, preach it.
And here's the thing. When what she manages to succeed at is blowing all of the money that her husband makes, okay?
Yeah.
So here's what I'm talking about. This is going into the subject of these women that also complain about... Because she's done this too, where it's like, you know, you get the. I wish I had better words to say this.
You're so angry right
now. Not angry. Well, a little bit.
You're frustrated. Use your words.
I'm trying. The prima donna aspect of being the princess aspect of that. I'm a wife. You, as a man, will go out and work and tend to my needs so that I may grace you with the innards of my hoo hoo. That is my issue. That is, to me, what is wrong with kids. Yeah. That is what's wrong with the whole family structure. It's not even about, like, people get up on a soapbox about gays getting married and everything like that. I think that if you really care about the whole ideal of marriage, that it should start there.
Yeah.
Because there are tons, and here's the thing. I'm not saying that all men are perfect either. I know that there are men who are jackasses and everything like that, and men who want to bring multiple women into the sack, even though their wives are really passive and like, I don't know, but they want their man to love them so much so they do it anyway, even though it damages their psyche. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the run-of-the-mill Joe who goes out, works his ass off just so he could come home and play with his kids on the weekend and then bone his wife every now and then, but she's got to make everything into a hassle. Every waking minute that this guy isn't working, he's got to be occupied doing some honey-do list or whatever.
Why are you so angry about that? What has animated you at this level? I feel like we're on... relationship-based Rush Limbaugh. Some sort of Rush Limbaugh meets Phil. What's that guy? Dr. Phil. Like, the two shows have smashed together with Jimmy Kimmel as the host.
It was looking at these girls in my hometown and seeing
them.
So you
looked at three girls and made snap judgments about their character based on their hair?
Not them.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe them, but that's not what's leading to all this. It just kind of hit me that, and here's the other thing, too, is that this is what's stewing around in my head is that I've kind of nailed down what I'm going to record for my CD, which
is
going to be on
pre-material.
November 4th at Rooster Teeth Feathers at 8 o'clock.
I'll be there.
You can get your tickets now.
I got to tell you something about that.
Okay.
Off the air. What's that? OFTA?
Sure.
Sorry, I'm distracting.
No, that's okay.
Go on.
So my new thing is I started just digesting in my head because I knew I needed a direction. So I'm thinking, what is the role of the modern man? And how is that different from man of, you know, yesteryear or whatever?
Yeah.
So I started thinking about the lifestyle that my father lives and that I live and then other guys, you know, similar to that. And I really started looking at my marriage. Because here's the real issue. When I started talking about my marriage and my act, it got a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's things in my marriage, I don't really have a ton of issues. So now I have to branch out into something new that I have an issue with.
So you got
to
make problems.
So I started thinking, what is it that I feel passionate about?
Right.
And I feel passionate about the fact that I get sometimes, for whatever reason, even when I was in high school and stuff, I have girls that complain to me about guys.
Yeah.
But now that I've gotten older, I have girls that will complain that it's like, well, my husband isn't doing this, my husband isn't doing that, my husband isn't doing this. And I just feel like it's so easy to take care of a man.
Yeah,
it is so unbelievably... I know I'm a high-maintenance man, but I feel like the general public of men are easy to take care of. They have very few needs, and that if you, in any side of a relationship, even if you're a guy who's like, I don't know how to make my wife happy... If you take one little step to say, this is what I should do, I'm going to do this because I know that she likes this, or I know that he likes this, I think it starts the ball rolling to make everything okay.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
Who puts their gun down first, or picks up their gun first, I guess,
in
this example?
Well, in the case of you're a man, you got to pick it up,
right?
I would assume, because you're the one with the gun.
But to go back to your, did you exhaust that point? Because there's something that
I don't know. It's all mulling around in my head. I don't know if I had a point.
I can't wait for your show. Going to be great. November 4th.
Yeah. That won't be coming up in November 4th.
It's going to be
probably
great.
Be a couple of years from now.
I can't wait to vote for you at the election on November 4th.
Oh, I would love to be.
Is it an election day? Oh,
I would love to be a president.
Of
just tell everybody to fucking man up and stop your bitching and moaning.
Man up party. I would like to return to your other point about I'm just going to say my point, which is that I don't believe sex belongs outside of the marriage, period. For any way.
Wait, what are you saying?
Because you were talking about sex. More sex would alleviate tension, create calorie burning situations.
Yes,
that whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Was that your point, that people should just be meeting in the streets and humping?
No, not the general public. Because here's the thing, there are people in our life, not in our life, that sounds weird. There are people in our world.
We know them. Cynthia.
Not Cynthia Whitworth. He's just picking a random name.
I was like, I don't know any Cynthia's. This will be
They're
perfect.
They're like, oh, that's what she's called, Cynthia Shitworth. Now I get it. But there are people in this world that we live in that can do that. They can have ambiguous
Amy
sexual...
Seeley.
Unfair. Not okay.
I mean,
can
Annie Cross.
sexual, ambiguous sexual partners and be completely fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are
disagree.
Like that. But for the most part, I think that they're... and here's the thing. I think of those people that in my personal... This is not a clinical study. I honestly think that of the 99% or 100% of the world, right, I think there are 2% of the population that can be completely comfortable and do that and be like, I'm all right.
I say it's 100% because like your question earlier, if any of the women that you had sex with prior to marriage, if you messed them up at all, I guarantee you did. Even if... I guarantee it.
Well, that's fair.
You did. It's like you can't... It's like a perfectly placid water, and if you touch your toe in it, the ripples never stop quaking the river. Oh, that's really good. I need to write that down.
You got your laptop right there.
Oh, man. Every time I open it, I kept getting distracted. I'm like, what's on Google Earth right now?
I'm playing Spore. Not podcasting.
I'm such a nerd. because not having had the sex, I understand it'd be an incredibly powerful thing that people will kill each other in order to have for all sorts of reasons, right?
Okay.
It's what I've seen.
I think it's only worth killing someone if you're really good at it.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Casa Justin.
Yeah, that's the only way that you, I think you can war. It's self-defense, obviously, number one.
Yeah.
Number two is if I'm really good at humping and there's somebody in my way and I could, you know, really show a lady or a man a good time, whatever it may be, I think it's okay to take a... here's what you should do.
Yeah.
You should tell that person, I'm willing to kill you to show this person how good I am at the making of the love. Do you want to take that challenge? Or do you want to just back down? Because there are a lot of people who might go, you know what? Have at it, buddy. Go I'm get good. It. Yeah. I'm not going to die. It's not worth it. And then if I'm going to do that, like, I got to check with the lady or the dude that I'm doing this to. I got to be like, listen, he or she says it's okay. So now I'm asking you, are you ready for this? Are you ready to buckle up and ride the Warsham train? I'm assuming that it's me in this superhero
story. Probably not. It's more of a supervillain, really, because the heroes don't often kill people.
Threaten. I never do.
Here's my point. It's that sex is a very powerful thing, enough to make you want to talk about it at least 45% of every podcast that we have. That I believe it should only be in a place where you have agreed to be completely in tune with each other's emotional needs, which is the context of marriage. That's the whole point of marriage, is that I'm going to care about what you feel and think, and you're going to care about what I feel and think. So that's the only place where it's appropriate. And if you are just giving it up and giving it out to anybody that walks by, or you've been hanging out for a couple weeks, they have no emotional responsibility to you.
Yes.
You can break it and walk away and completely mess you up, even if it's a tiny little bit. These people that I bet, even underneath all that, those 2% that you refer to, it's messing with them on some level.
But you're saying, though, that this connection can still be established without the vows of marriage?
I suppose, yeah.
Because here's the thing, obviously, in your opinion, no. And which, because it sounds like I'm going against that, which is not the case, because it fits into what you're saying in that these are your terms.
Yeah.
Your personal terms is that I want it to be somebody who is so willing and in tune with me that they want to be married to me, and that's what I'm asking for.
But I would say that it doesn't.
And by that same theory, it could be some chick who's like, I just need somebody to pay attention to me for 15 minutes and then go about their merry way.
But I do believe that it should be within agreed upon responsibility of each other. Maybe, and they can do whatever they want the other 15 minutes of their life, or whatever you're saying. But I don't believe whoever you are, regardless of what you.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying random orgies. Yeah. I'm not saying adult friend finder, and then I just randomly find somebody in Toledo.
But I'm not even saying like one solid girlfriend or boyfriend a year or something. I'm saying one, and you're done.
So you have one partner, and then never again.
And outside of being widowed, where you can never have sex with them.
So when that person dies, then you can have another.
Then you're free. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's...
because then it puts, if you know that, then it puts choosing who you have sex with at a much higher level of responsibility. You're not just going to get it on with whoever comes walking by with the opposite parts you have.
But I feel like there could be some gray in there, like, because to me, like, if it's one person, and I have to, because here's the thing. What if I decide that it's going to be that person, and then it's not that great with that person?
I don't think that matters.
But here's the thing. I'm thinking out loud here, is that by that measure, you wouldn't know if that person is good or bad. You would just
also
make
true.
The assumption, right? Yep. I can tell from my personal experience that my best sex was with my now wife, but I did have premarital sex with her.
Yeah.
I had sex with her and before we even established like your agreement by saying, I know that I'm into
you. But it would have been so much more rich had you made these emotional agreements, the sort of sexual prenuptial agreement with them, where I am going to care. I agree, before we even open this very vulnerable part of our existence to each other, I'm agreeing that no matter what happens, I'm putting you ahead of my needs. I'm putting you at least on par with my needs, if not ahead, because I know that you're going to be putting my needs ahead of your needs.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. Like, here's what I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around is that
the concept of marriage.
No, I get that. I'm in it. The idea that that can only be established with one person. That's the part that where I'm trying to make the connect. Because because that's my whole issue. My whole issue with teenage sex is that you're ill equipped to do that.
Yeah.
You don't know enough about you or anything like that. And it's just like, let's feel around. You don't even know enough about what you're doing. You're feeling around the dark, going, oh, maybe this feels good. Let's try that. You know, and then you start creating these scenarios where where there are, you know, that's just my Puritan uptightness that I'm trying to get over. But he's, because what I was going to say is you get in with these girls that are like, well, I don't have it vaginally, but I'll have it anally because I'm saving it for the one I'm married. Really? Really? That's what?
Yeah.
Because
this is Adam Carolla's thing, right?
No, well, I don't know. Does he say?
I thought you talked about it where the Christians are having porn star sex and I'm not even getting stuff from my own wife won't give me.
Maybe. I don't know.
I remember you at.
I know that there was I know that Robert Schimmel has a bit about that where he says that, like, he interviewed some porn star and she said that she won't have, what was it? She won't kiss. That's what it is. She goes, I do all these movies, but, and she just, like, won an award for best gangbang or whatever, but she's like, but I don't kiss any of the guys because that's only for my husband and that's who I love. And his joke was something to the effect of, really? Really? Oh. I'd prefer you not. You can kiss 10,000 guys and then let me fuck you when you get home. Yeah. Like something to that effect yeah. is what he was saying. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that I think that that's what it lends itself to. And I think it's not aligned. Like it's, cause here's the thing. When we have this society where people think, oh, well, if you do that, that's a naughty thing. Yeah. Right. Then as teenagers, you find loopholes. That's,
yeah,
you know
course.
What I mean?
I'll put it here.
Exactly.
We're clothed. So.
Yeah. Or I'll just do that. And I feel like even though our society has deemed that, you know, a handy isn't that big a deal. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's still a level of intimacy.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah. So that's the part that to me, I feel like, well, just the one person. I think that's where it could,
but see, the point is that you're letting, that's why it's got to be one person, because of that level of intimacy should only be with one other person.
Yes.
Should only be exposed.
Should only be with one other person.
Period. The one that has agreed to care about you more than they've care about themselves.
But then you have, but see, here's, but then how do you define that person? Is it marriage?
Yeah, marriage is the easiest thing, yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's a way of saying,
because
it's a big deal. You've gone through all this trouble, you've brought all your family here, you spent thousands of dollars to do this thing. You've put this weight on it, you've signed a legal document, you've merged your bank accounts, you're living in the same house. It's hard to go, it's hard to walk away from that and be like,
you have to go through this huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to have sex.
Exactly. Like, but that's the point.
There's a reason why it's a pain in the ass. If you're willing to go through all of this.
But, you know, back in the day.
Because I think it goes the other way around. I think that it's like, if you live in a world where it's like, where you know, we have to be married to have sex, then you just have all these people going through all this BS just so that they can poke it. And then they're like, man, that wasn't.
That wasn't. I'm just going to get out.
Yeah.
But see, I think it's a testament to how much they care about you. I care about you so much that I'm willing to go through marriage. Then the sex is a bonus. Then the sex is part of the celebration of that love, not the end goal. The whole point of getting married isn't so you can just have sex. It's the result.
The icing on the cake.
Exactly. The frosting, if you will. What's the Mexican cake?
To get us back to the previous point is that I feel like people are eating too much icing,
yes.
And they need to burn some calories, and that's why I'm saying that they need to do, even if it's, like I said, even if it's with themselves.
Yeah.
That's what we should do to burn calories. You ask any guy, because here's the thing, there are more athletic people in the world, but if you ask any guy, what would you rather do? Mm-hmm. Would you rather take care of yourself or run a 5K?
What's take care of myself?
Yeah.
Were you asking me that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have to answer honestly unless you want to. But
I could run a 5K.
Exactly. Exactly my point. How many men?
I could take care of myself in 5 seconds.
Yes. Do you see the magic already happening?
Is that how you measure?
Now just watch this 2-hour video where we exclude parts of our history. And let me tell you what you will be doing in your plane ride back home.
Oh, that would have been a much more interesting plane ride back home than drinking Coke.
Right.
Because the plane ride out there, I, getting back to that story, wanted to die.
That's right.
I wanted to die.
Why?
Because I had food sickness.
Oh.
Remember the doxycycline that I was taking for the anti-malaria drug? Well, it made my stomach incredibly raw, and I had something that my stomach didn't like the night before, and I woke up at 3:45 in the morning, an hour before I even needed to be up.
Food poisoning.
And I was throwing up in the bathroom.
Yes.
Women, the MLA and some of the friends were at the door trying to get me to come down, so I get in the car, and it took me forever to get out. out of my apartment. On the drive to LAX, I had them pull over so I could throw up on the street over by the airport there.
Yes!
We made it through security. Even the security guards at TSA could see I was... They're like, if you need to throw up, here's a tray. They were just giving... Because I was so...
One of the trays that you'd put a laptop in?
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
so those trays could be used for a laptop, shoes, sweater, and protein spill.
Exactly.
Okay.
He was willing. So we get... Because
they're very specific about what you're allowed to put through there.
I had to check
it. Did they x-ray it?
No, I didn't throw up in it.
Because you're only allowed the 311.
I wish
I had. So if you go more than 3 ounces, you're going to have to put that shit in a bag.
Exactly. Or, I wish I had, because that would have been a great story if I threw up there. But they get better.
In a little bag.
Because we flew, you know, I get onto the plane. As soon as we put our bags inside the plane, like we find our seats, I ran to the back, threw up in the thing. Sat in the back of the plane the whole time on the flight.
That's across country. Did you
connect? To Dallas, yeah. We flew to Dallas.
2 hours, that's not bad.
Oh, so bad.
I know, yes, I'm sorry.
It was the worst. Because there's nowhere to lay down.
Felt like six.
Your time isn't your own. The stewardesses are giving you all points, remembering how they had food poisoning. And I'm like, I just want to die. Could you shut up? And then sat in the back of the plane as we're landing.
You've got food poisoning. You can't even drink like ginger ale.
Can't do anything.
Because that just kicks you all over again.
Everything is bad. I had some gum and I threw all the water, threw the saliva up. Oh, that was terrible. So as we're landing, I'm throwing up in a bag in the back of the plane. And I can hear people gagging because they can hear me throwing up. Then I sit in I just die inside Dallas. I just lay in the terminal and wait for the last possible second before I get on the plane. And then I just sit and die the whole way to Atlanta from Dallas, which is not a short flight either.
No.
And then sitting there, as they were trying to get the rental car, it was 2 hours sitting in a baggage carousel where I would spend time spitting in a trash bag or laying in the toilet. And then... And Natalie's bringing her food around. We're not eating that right now. We're podcasting. No ice cream bars doing podcasts.
Oh, God.
She's such she's an enabler. She's like, I can't drink alone. I can't eat my ice cream alone. So I need to feed it to people who are talking.
In her mind, she thinks she's being polite. That's what she
really?
Thinks.
Really?
Yeah. She thinks she's entertaining because she thinks that we're here having conversations.
And she's not even going to have one. She's going to have cookies now instead.
She forgets that we're trying to do a show. Right, and that if we start eating during the show, here we'll fire you up. We set it up.
Welcome back. There you go.
Now she's not going to talk in it. Good. what?
That can't
do you think I didn't turn you on? Is that what you think? Because I will turn you on, Mama.
You guys are so quick. Wow.
Done. Yeah, I was in there listening about that sex stuff. I'm like, I got to get in there.
Where were you? Why weren't you in on the
She chose
stuff?
To wait until the food sickness part to jump in, though.
Yeah, so I died. And then we drove all the way from Atlanta to Macon, which is an hour and a half long drive, and I wanted to...
Was it your whole trip until you got the Coca-Cola in you?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, the next day, I think I had a half a chicken breast, and that was all I could stomach. And then we went to a reception party for the wedding, and I had some turkey breast. I mean, it was hell. It was hell to be traveling with Air Food. It was the worst I've ever felt in my life.
So the pills made your stomach raw?
Because I realized as I was throwing up, I'm like, I really have not been feeling great this whole week. I've been on this stuff. My stomach's been queasy. Food hasn't felt great. I haven't slept well in a week. I'm like, why? I don't need to do this. So if I get malaria in India, everybody can send me cards. That's because
you're not leaving there?
Because I can't. Yeah, exactly. I have to
you got
to
live in the monkey temple?
Well,
that's where I go. That's a great place to get free food if you could steal some shit.
Well, I can't go to India and take 2 days out because I've gotten food poisoning.
Why?
Because we were only there for 15 days. Two days of food poisoning is like a lot of days.
it's two.
Out of 15. What's wrong with your cat? Why is she so in love with Natalie? She's so alone.
Because she hasn't seen Natalie in like 3 weeks.
Oh, and she misses her.
Because before Jacob's birthday, Natalie's been gone helping my mom with her knee surgery. But here's my thing, though. Yeah. If you really got food sickening while you're in this food sickness or whatever, food poisoning.
Yeah,
sickening. That's funny.
I will punch you in your face. I will punch you.
I think
you.
That means he will have sex with your face.
I will have sex with your face. The 2 days, I mean, if you're sick, you mean to tell me they're going to ship you home?
No. My point is that 2 days on a 15-day long trip could be very significant days. Like,
he doesn't
want to
miss anything. And the jet lag alone will take you a couple days to get...
Exactly. I could not handle traveling on a comfortable airline here in the States. If we're in another country where I have absolutely zero creature comforts, I'm not risking that at all. No way.
Well, don't worry about your creatures and get your comfort. you're worrying way too much about these monkeys.
I love the monkeys.
If they want something, they'll fucking steal it and just not give it for fruit. That's how the monkeys live. They probably got a whole like man cave in the back for all
the monkeys.
Just
store it up. Natalie talks about sex. That's why you sat down, didn't you? Hoffman, bringing her up.
No, well, I put the baby to sleep, so I thought I'd come sit with you guys.
Aww. Oh, that's sweet. But you had something to say about the naughty. You said you did. I'm not making this up.
No, I don't really have anything to say. I was just listening to
She just
to
likes
it
the
Like a magnet. She hears the word sex, and she has to draw on herself an ear. Yeah. That's what she... Because this is getting back to my point of the princesses. This, in my opinion, is one of the reasons why my marriage... I'm a happily married man.
Because and that, she's not a princess?
Yes. And I will not cheat on my wife. I have multiple opportunities. Here's the thing. Opportunities may not be the right word. What's the thing where it's I have potential, right? Yeah. No opportunities. It's not like women are coming up to me. When you spend 20 minutes on stage talking about your marriage and your child, not many women are like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me some
Knock
of that.
That out.
No, but some of them do because then they see it more of a challenge.
You say that like, every time.
I know.
It's
like
true.
It's the first time.
Ladies, it's true.
Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Who
the
do
ladies
you talk
that are
to?
Listening.
Have you been watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta?
No. Although I do like the ones of Orange County.
How is that possible that I What's can that? Hate and love someone so much?
It's how
same.
I feel about Coke.
I thought you were going to say me because you were just me.
No.
Like, oh, we got
I
a little
you.
Hate-love triangle going?
I don't think so. I don't think
here?
There's any part of me that doesn't like you, Justin.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do think that people should have sex before they get married.
There
I don't
it
know.
Is.
Like, some people know. Like, if it's, like, with
some
Kevin,
people.
No, with his thing, I totally respect.
I love how you're going to say, Kevin is not a person
who should be having sex.
Having sex because we saw how he reacted to Coke.
And the malaria drug. Let's not
say true. I threw them both
kind
up.
Of a pussy.
What if you're, oh my gosh, what if you find out you're allergic to sex?
Is that possible? Because you're going to give me nightmares.
If you're allergic to latex, you're screwed.
No. He's gonna be married.
No. But my point is that it's if it's a religious thing or whatever, I totally respect that. Uh-huh. But if you're not, I do think that it's like a if you can argue well, if you can get through a tough time, it's
See,
the same
no,
thing. If you
that's
can,
not my that's my entire point. You notice nowhere in what I said had anything to do with religion or rules or even what God recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say that once because while God recommended it, he recommended it for a reason. All the reasons I just gave, which is that you can't be having sex with somebody that you don't have a complete agreement with that you're going to take care of each other. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, you're going to get screwed. You've been screwed by guys that tore you over. You almost didn't end up with this guy because some other guy screwed you over.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But it wasn't because of the sex, though.
No,
it was,
wasn't.
Though. It's part of the mixture. Without the sex, the relationship isn't as intense as it could be. Without the sex, it doesn't mean as much because then it's just relationships. Take the sex
but
out.
I feel like you're making it on the because like what you said, in a marriage, it's icing on the cake, and what you're doing is flipping the coin and saying that it is the cake and that
yes
but I because I don't think so I think that I think that there are situations where that does become the case yes but like in her situation and I don't know is this are you comfortable with this are you okay with
I
this
I don't care
all right so in her situation it had little or nothing to do with the fact that she was having sex with this guy she was hooked on him before they even had sex
mm-hmm.
It would have even if in her
fact I waited like yeah. 9 months before I even had sex with him because I was so young and I wanted to make yeah. sure that I loved him. I wouldn't regret it. And that was the big thing. I didn't want to regret it.
Initially,
you still don't regret it.
No.
But see, it's still, you're also young at that age and you don't exactly know what sex is or why we're doing it to begin with. It's just something we're supposed to do because it's in the movies. But I guarantee without it in there, the relationship isn't as intense as it was. And it becomes much easier to break up than without it. Because you allow somebody into this, the most intimate part of your life.
I'm really trying to. I'm trying to digest this because I don't know.
Because once you're that intimate, it's like you're more attached to that person.
Absolutely.
I think if you're a woman, I think if you're
as a man, sex is the best gift as you can get. For,
so
as a man.
Many guys, like I'm like I look at these porn stars and strippers and whatever else, and I'm like I don't understand. I would never.
But for
be
them,
like,
it's a job. That's different.
No, but I'm just saying for people to have sex with all these different people, like a guy can go like some guys, not all, but some guys will go. Oh, well, they'll go after this girl.
Let's just
and have
make
sex
this blanket
this
statement of that
this.
We're not talking about every single person. We're making statements about the majority. Not there are exceptions to every rule. So that now yeah. we don't have to worry about disclaiming that. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't want to offend anybody, but I just don't understand how you can have sex with this person, that person, that person, that person. Like, to me, it's a sacred, like, intimate.
Exactly.
Like, I want to be in love with the person, yeah. And anymore, it's like I can just stick it into anything, and I just don't get.
My point was that it's 100%. Even porn stars, I don't think there should be porn stars. There, everybody, sex across the board.
If there aren't porn stars, who are you saying we have animated porn?
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because that's safe for everybody.
That's for everybody.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the reason why they're able to, my belief, as not a porn star, they become so desensitized from it. It becomes a job to you. That
or like the girl was saying, kissing is more intimate or holding hands is more intimate because sex is so...
And that almost proves my point, that you need to be able to hold on to that. Like, there's a reason why she bothers to be married to somebody. What would it matter if she thinks sex is that worthless and...
But I think it's more for her. I think she says stuff like that and comes up with stuff like that because of this external influence that we have.
I don't know.
I bet if we sat her down in our head.
I bet if she sat here, she would tell you how much she loves her husband.
No, because this is her job. You think every radio interview, every television interview that any ever happens with a porn star, I'm sure they start off with,
all right.
Did your dad not love you enough? Why porn? What does your family think about porn?
Yeah.
How does you're married? How do your husband's okay with you
sure,
going around and banging?
But okay, let's go out. Let's become her friend.
Let's become her friend.
In a year from now, we'll be able to talk about it. Hey,
if I become her friend, what are the chances that I can get her in with the missus?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know. I want to know how friendly we are with this woman.
Friendly enough to where, yeah, she would sleep.
So she's got to trust us to where now I can get in.
Yeah, and then you can really be like, but no kissing.
I'm a kisser.
No kissing.
All right.
No kissing. She's married.
Wait, are you this chick now? Or are you playing?
But I can kiss her.
What is with you, bi-curious Natalie?
This is mostly for the show, I think. Right? You're not interested in sleeping with another woman.
No, I'm not.
Unless it's Angelina Jolie.
I might do it.
Really? Now, still with all the kids, she's been popping out like
that's
a pest.
Okay, she's still hot.
When was the last time you saw her?
I saw her in a magazine with her and Brad Pitt with all of her kids, and she was holding her infant, the smallest one.
Mm. So, but I mean, how do you think it's going to go down? Do you think, I mean, are the kids there? Because they don't have a nanny, from what I've been told. So how does this work out? Is it that she leaves Brad with the kids? And why is it in your fantasy that Brad isn't part of the mix?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I'm not into Brad Pitt. Like, you don't really? No, all the girls are like, oh, Brad Pitt. No, not he doesn't.
So
he doesn't do it for me.
But I do.
If Matthew McConaughey came knocking on my door and said, "Hi, Natalie," my clothes would fall off, and that'd be the end of it.
All he'd have to do is say hi.
Yeah,
that's how connected you are to me.
No,
but he had to come to her door, so let's never invite Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, but, I mean,
you guys haven't seen.
I mean, I'm a stand-up comedian on the up and up. Right? I'm up and coming, right?
Yes.
How long do you think I could dodge the bullet of Matthew McConaughey showing up at my front door?
At least 50 years. This isn't a sitcom.
Okay. So 51 years from now, that asshole knocks on my door. I've got, at that point, 58 years of marriage invested in a woman, 62 years together, and then she's going to throw it all away?
You know what?
Well, some asshole comes to the wrong door and says, hey, how you doing?
When we're on the Wavecast, because in the future, we won't have pauses. We'll have waves.
Did you say pause?
No, it'll be the pause cast. I don't know what the technology is going to be.
It's all dash.
Years.
That's all it is.
Oh,
it's all
dash.
Just pause
dashes and
dots. The South decided they wanted a second Civil War, and this time they won because they learned from the first one.
What year did that happen?
2048. Because we got to let time for Matthew McConaughey to be 50 something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's around then.
Are there hover cars yet?
Math is fun.
Do you guys see it? You haven't seen it because you can't go out. But Inglourious Bastards. You saw it?
I saw it.
How amazing is that movie?
Great movie.
Amazing.
Jordan Rosa was right.
He is. It's the best movie.
I really like District 9. I would put that
too?
As a close second.
Yes. Did you know that he and I were chatting today? The Academy Awards, there will be 10 nominees for Best Picture this year. As opposed to the regular 5. Oh, no, that's the same face I made.
Why?
Wow.
Well, because...
Is it really the best when you consider them all?
Well, that's the point. Nice. Well, the point point, it was like, you look at last year. How close did Batman get to being nominated? How many votes behind did he get to be nominated? The philosophy is, if you expand it to 10, it allows more of the more common movies, like District 9 or Star Trek or these other ones
To not win again.
But to be nominated, at least.
Well, then you have different genres, too, which makes it more interesting.
No, so what we're doing is we're extending the ability to put on the box that says, hey, this was an Oscar-nominated film.
And extending the range of people that will watch the Oscars, because if you love Star Trek or District 9 or Inglourious Bastards, but it's not nominated for anything.
See, that's what I'm saying. They're going about, they're fixing the wrong thing. They're fixing, they're saying, okay, we have our stick-up-our-ass choices that we, because we like movies about mentally handicapped people with homosexual tendencies and big diseases.
Elizabethan period.
During the 1600s. That's what we like. But I understand that the majority of America doesn't really watch those kinds of movies. So for us to say that's the best movie that...
Well,
you know,
I think they're two different entities, because you have the ones who vote, the Academy themselves, and then you have the people that make these decisions, which are different, that decided to grow.
Here's what it should be. If you're going to consider the majority of what people like in America, you know, because I know they have the People's Choice Awards, but really what you should have is a category of, these are the nominees, the five nominees for snobby best picture.
Yes.
Right? And then these
art
are the,
house film.
Yes.
And these are the
block. You got to go snobby.
Yeah. And then popular movies or blockbuster, the Blockbuster Awards.
I would say best.
Yeah.
I would say, and these are the best pictures.
Yeah, that's how
I would break. Because if you put in Blockbuster, then the snobs are like, well, it's condescending. Because they look at that as condescending. Oh, I'm sorry. The ones that don't make a shitload of money, those aren't the good ones.
Even the ones that are good, well-reviewed. Both District 9 and Inglourious Basterds are well-reviewed.
Because here's the thing,
I would hope Inglourious Basterds. Because that movie, I mean, it's Schindler's List with a couple of jokes.
Yeah. Well, it's Schindler's List with a couple of jokes. Well, I would have been.
That opening scene.
Spoiler alert, though, because I was.
If you just watch that opening scene, minus maybe one joke in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, touching, beautiful film.
What did you say before that, though? You said something. Oh, I was going to hit on this idea that people think that if Hollywood was in charge of, you know, all the movies, like these people that say that because Hollywood keeps churning out these same movies that keep making crap loads of money, therefore they won't make other movies that people can see.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm too idealistic, but that I just don't think that we live in that world. We don't live in a world. The internet helps us. The internet helps everybody, that you can find people who are interested. And the reality is that you can't make your crap movie if people don't really want to see it. You know what I mean?
That's half and half, because there's still a problem, no matter, you know this as a working comedian, you're very, very funny. How many millions of people view your website every day? How many hits do you have on YouTube? Millions.
17 a day.
Exactly. How many people listen to this podcast? It's hilarious. Your stuff on YouTube is hilarious.
Today maybe wasn't not so hilarious,
but the point is,
we were definitely second in the order of funniest today.
But you're up against the same problem that everybody else is you're one voice among millions, so it's about publicity, it's about marketing, it's about getting lucky. All of those things are still the same.
Line of thinking is that the people who are successful, like say a Jeff Foxworthy, well, he's just cranking out.
My point was that just because a movie isn't getting the reviews or isn't getting the wide distribution,
doesn't mean it shouldn't be made.
Doesn't exactly.
Okay. No, I don't think that's what I was saying. Yeah. I just feel like the people who balk at the fact that, you know, because their independent movie isn't getting huge distribution and everything. I'm like, well,
if a movie's good, it's good.
Yeah, people will find it. If you have a niche audience, they'll find it. And blah blah blah. Yakety smack.
Are we done with this podcast?
I think we are.
Natalie, end us with a joke.
I have nothing to say.
Come on.
Hilarious.
She is so funny.
I love her. I love you.
Not today.
I'm not cutting you off, am I, dear? Are you okay?
No, I'm good.
All right, thank you, guys.
I was asleep and just thought I'd come sit with you and see if I could jump on any bandwagon. It was interesting.
Well, Natalie will be here all the week. If you'd like to hear more about Natalie, visit nataliehoffmanisnotahoffmananymore.org. And Justin is...
Don't go to there. it really doesn't work.
Justin is available at justincomedy.com. If you'd like to know more about Rocky and Jacob, they're at dingoandthebaby.org.
That was her joke. She told people not really to go to nataliehoffmanisntreallyhoffmananymore.org.
The dingo one? Yeah, that's totally a lie, too.
No, that's real. That's a real website.
How dare you? All right. Okay, bye.
I rent a room in the house. Listen, baby girl. I ain't got a motorboat, but I can float your boat. So listen, baby girl. Once you get a dose of dough, you go once some more. So listen, baby